The book of Psalms, Psalm 78. I want to share some thoughts with you from this particular psalm, and it's just really verses 38 and 39 are just going to be a sort of a jumping off point for my subject, and I want to talk about compassion today. Psalm 78, verse number 38. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, but he remembered that they were flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Our life is short as compared to eternity. It's likened to just a breath. You breathe, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 times a minute, 24 hours a day, every year that you live. And just one breath is just, it's just quickly gone. But what we do here in this lifetime determines our eternity. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, that puts us on a new road to heaven. And then our life after salvation determines our rewards. And the things that we do here on earth is remembered by God, and God records those. I don't know if we will be permitted to see what I would call God's library of the records of our deeds in our lifetime. But if we are, and it's like a library that we visualize, it's huge because it has your name on every book in that library, and everything that you've done for the Lord is there. And even for people who are unredeemed, according to Revelation chapter 20, God's going to remind them of the things that they did in this lifetime. But what we do in this lifetime is marked by our heart, our compassion, the things that we encompass in our lives. But he, being full of compassion, forgave. It is by the grace of God that you were allowed to hear the Word of God. And it's by the grace of God that the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sins. And then you made a decision in your life whether to accept the Lord or not. But based upon that decision determines your eternal destiny. But while we're here, we need to understand that some things about compassion. Now, my perception, okay, just my perception. Most church members, and I want to say Baptists in particular, are deficient in this area of compassion. We're legalistic in our discipline after salvation of doing certain things and not doing certain things, and we tend to override, make them the priority in our life and forget about the eternal destination of others. But the Lord is compassionate. In Psalm 86 and verse 15, it says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and in truth." Our God is full of compassion. He looks down upon us and with a compassionate heart, desiring the very best for every individual, desiring that we accept Jesus as our Savior, and after that he's desiring that we live a life that is pleasant, not pleasant, and conforms to the Word of God. And he is very long-suffering, or just extremely patient with our slowness. I've said many times, we Christians are hard-headed, determined, set in our ways, and our way is right and everybody else is wrong. Well, everybody else can't be wrong. Sometimes we're wrong. And we need to be, I need to be more compassionate. The Lord sets the example. Then in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. If we got what we deserve for our sin, we would never come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. But because God is compassionate, he allowed you and I to be born in America. He allowed you and I to hear the Word of God. He allowed you and I to hear it long enough and to sink into our heads to be obedient to the Word of God. And let's face it, it takes us a whole lot of learning to be able to learn how to be what the Lord would have us to be. But our Lord is compassionate. And the second thing is, I want us to see, we are to be compassionate. That may be a life-changing statement for some of you, but we need to be compassionate, not only as individuals, but as a church, to help people. A couple weeks ago, we helped a gentleman that came and sat in the back, and he was in some dire straits, and you folks just reached down and showed compassion. And I want to say thank you for that. God will greatly, richly reward you for that act of generosity. But we are to be compassionate. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The word that sticks out to me in that particular verse is tender-hearted. The older we get, I think sometimes the hard-heartedness of our individuality shows more prevalent. We may not say we're hard-hearted. We may not say that we're stubborn. We may not say that we're not going to change. But God admonishes us to be tender-hearted, to get us to be compassionate for those who are less fortunate than we are. And then as God touches your heart, that you would do whatever he instructs you to do to show compassion from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse number 4, says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, nor does it seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Now, if you back up and begin to analyze those words and just meditate on those words as individual words, it encompasses a lot. Suffers long tells me that we need to be patient. For those who are unlovely, those who are hard to love, and to be kind while you're waiting to be compassionate to those. And don't get wrapped up in envy just because somebody has something that you don't have and they think they deserve it and you think you deserve it. Don't envy. Be thankful for what you have. I mean, I can go into our closet and I have a choice of short sleeve shirts. I mean, I have more than one. A lot of people only have one. And that's the one that they're wearing. We have so much. I go into our closet and I have several pair of shoes. I have some that I never wear. I got a pair of black dress shoes that I put on once every 6 months. They hurt my feet. I just do it because I'm at a particular place. But I don't care for them. If you see me every weekday, and if you see me this afternoon, I have on a pair of tennis shoes. That's what I wear 7 days a week. The only time I change is when I have to, quote, dress up like today. You probably wouldn't appreciate, some of you may not appreciate me coming in tennis shoes, but that's what I wear. And I wear them, I wear the soles out, and that's time for me to get another pair because the soles are getting thin a little bit, and the rocks come through when I step on certain rocks along the way, but they're comfortable. They feel good to my feet. You know, they're not heavy. I probably wore 6 ounces of rubber off of them or something like that. But to be compassionate and is not provoked. One of the advantages of my old age is I don't get angry as fast as I used to. Now, some of you may had an anger problem 20 or 30 years ago, but I did, okay? But I still have an angry problem, but I don't express it like I used to express it. I just usually get mad and walk off and cool down. That's the way I react. My wife doesn't like that. She wants to, when she gets mad, she wants to argue and wants me to argue back, and I don't want to argue. I just walk off, and you know what that does? It makes her madder. And I don't do it intentionally to make her madder. I just do it so I won't say what I shouldn't say. But that's how I handle it. Now, everybody handles anger differently about being provoked. Then thanks no evil. Now you think about this. When you get mad at somebody, have you thought how you're going to get even? How you're going to pay them back? If we're human, we have. Until God gets a hold of us. But then don't rejoice because somebody gets in trouble. You ever said they deserved it? You know, they deserve that. I don't feel sorry for you. You got what you deserve. We shouldn't think that way. But we do. But we shouldn't think that way. But we need to rejoice in the truth. The truth of knowing Jesus Christ. The peace that He gives us. The compassion that He gives us, the love that He has for us, if we could just reflect that love to others, our world would be a better place. If we would just show some genuine, heartfelt love, compassionate love that Jesus demonstrated. If I had the attributes of the Lord when He was here, I think I would, I don't know, call down fire, smack some Pharisees beside the face, or stomp on some toes, or say what my flesh would want to say. But the Lord didn't do that. The Lord spoke the truth, and the truth offended, but it was the truth. See, the truth hurts sometimes. We don't like to hear the truth. It's not what we have practiced all along. It's not what we, it's not part of our DNA, but the truth is the truth. And we're going to be judged according to the truth, and this is the truth. We're going to be judged according to this. And the problem of it is that most of us forget what we read, and we don't practice what we know that we need to practice. We serve a gracious God. Let me see if I can find a verse I'm looking for. There's a verse I read in my devotions this morning, and it just spoke very, very plainly to me, if I can find it. I know it's at the top of the page. It's not there. I can't find it. But we need to understand who we are. But then the next thing I want us to see is that compassion forgives. Compassion forgives. Psalm 103 and verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy." We need to be able to forgive. If we had the godly characteristic that God has, see, God forgives and then he forgets. We forgive, but we don't forget very often. Okay? I'll pick on you ladies. You get mad and you stay mad for 3 weeks. And the most inopportune time, you throw it back up about 3 weeks later. You remember when you said this or you did this? And the men will say, "No." And then you ladies will say, "But you said, you know, or you did." You ladies just have that ability to remember things a little bit longer and the hurt a little bit longer. One of the great things about being a man is we have poor memories. And that makes you ladies even madder, okay? I understand that. But I don't like it, but that's just the way that it is. And then in the book of Joel, a little short book in the Old Testament, it says, "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." It never hurts to be kind. Being kind may not be appreciated by the recipient, but it always does the giver great inner satisfaction to be kind. Even when it's not received, be kind. Give, express, verbalize kindness. People will remember you for your kindness if we just take the time to be kind. It's a godly attribute that we all need to develop a little bit more in our lives. Compassion forgives. When somebody offends you, forgive them. You say, "Well, they don't deserve it." Maybe not. But you don't deserve to be haunted by your hard-headedness and refusing to forgive. You need to be able to show compassion. And then you can be compassionate. It may be hard. It may take some work on your part. It may take a lot of prayer on your part. And you will be misunderstood by being compassionate. But you can be compassionate. That's a godly trait. And we can be more like Christ if we just work at it. Psalm 131, verse 1, just a little short portion of it says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. In other words, Lord, I'm not holding a grudge. I realize who I am, my station in life, and help me to be compassionate. Help me not to be lifted up in pride. Help me not to be arrogant. Help me not to be haughty. The psalmist says he's not haughty. That's a bold statement to make. That inner heart, that we would not be haughty. That we would be compassionate like the Lord would have us to be. And then, here's another thought. Our time here on earth is short. We may live to be 70 years old, or 80 years old, or older. We may live to be 100. We have no guarantees of tomorrow. But our life is short in the eyes of God. But what we do here is worth doing well for the Lord. The book of James, verse number 14, a verse that I often use in funerals, just to remind the audience that life is short. We do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. When I read that verse, and that just shows you how old I am, I remember my grandmother always had a kettle on the stove. When in the early years, when we first moved to Virginia, we had a potbelly stove, and that was our heat, okay? And on top of that was a cast iron kettle. I think it was cast iron. But I remember seeing the steam come out of that thing. But it only come out for about a foot, maybe 2 foot, and then it vanishes away. Well, that's our life as compared to eternity. That's our deeds. But our deeds are recorded for all eternity. But our life is just here for a short time and then vanishes. Your loved ones will remember you for a little bit. Maybe your grandchildren will remember you for a little bit. Maybe your great-grandchildren will remember you for a little bit. But basically, after that, you're gone. You're in nobody's memory. That's what you do for Christ is the only thing that's going to last. And so that's a challenge for each of us to do something for the Lord. I can remember things that my dad did. I can remember some things that my granddad did, at least my mom's dad. I never knew my dad's dad. He was gone before I ever came on the scene. I remember my dad's mom just a little bit. I just remember her being in bed because she went to be with the Lord when I was 5 years old. And that's, I just remember her being sick. That's all I remember. But one of the great things I can remember about my dad's parents was something I found written on their tombstone. When my aunt died, my dad's sister, when she was buried in the old family plot, And my granddad, who I never knew, my grandmother wrote, "He knows his Redeemer liveth." I never have forgot that, and that's been 30 some years ago when I saw that. I was the only time I was ever in that cemetery. My granddad knew that he knew the Lord, and my grandmother wrote that on his tombstone. That gives me comfort to know that I had a grandparent that's with the Lord that I've never seen. He's going to be one of the people that I will see is when I walk through the pearly gates. I won't recognize him, but he probably recognized me. I'll know him by his name because he has the same initials that I have. Not the same name, but he has the same initials. And I'm going to get to see him. But see, our life is just a vapor. That's all it is. It's just a vapor. Psalm 39 and verse number 5, part of that verse says, "Indeed, you have made my days as hand breaths." Just a short time. Just a short time. Our opening scripture got to get to the right marker here. He will remember that we were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. First Peter gives us this. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted." And then verse number 9 says, "Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." Compassion. If we would just demonstrate a little bit more, our lives would be richer, our rewards will be greater, and Jesus will be pleased. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love, your grace. Pray, Lord, this word compassion will make an indelible mark in our hearts, that we will be the people that you would have us to be, that we will show others that you are real in our lives and that you have changed us, and that our lives will speak to others to live a life that they should, that they can enjoy heaven with us. Would you guide and direct in this invitation for the glory of Christ? For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation. If God's spoken to you, if you need to do business with God, I ask you to respond. Shall we all stand, please?